Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Frank.
T-Biscuit.
And, man, we've been having some audio issues, so we're using some mobile equipment today. We hope we sound as professional as we can possibly be.
The best that we can.
But this is episode 75 of the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Point one.
We're almost to 100. Now, we're not going to tell people that we screwed up a few minutes and we had to start the show over, okay? We don't do that. Damn it, I just did it. And go to TrustMeOnJedi.com. That's where you can find our show. And if you didn't hear episode 74, like, why did they get 75? Well, Apple fucked up, basically, and our iTunes didn't connect. And I had to go email Apple and get it corrected. So now it's there. So 74 should have downloaded to your device if you have us subscribed on your iTunes or your Stitcher or Google Play or whatever. So thank you, Apple, for fucking up our feed.
And, yes, thank you, Apple.
Yeah, but it's fixed now, so you should be able to get all your episodes of the Rebel Radio Podcast. And I'm going to keep a close eye on this motherfucker so this microphone doesn't jack up again. So, you know, we got a little movie that came out this weekend, Spider-Man Homecoming. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We've also got the world premiere of a song written by our very own The Electric Money. The Electric Monkey. And it tells the tale of Frank the Leprechaun T-Biscuit.
Yes.
Whatever.
And how Rebel Radio came to be, sort of.
Whatever you do, do not turn off this episode. You've got to fucking hear this.
Yes.
I mean, I'm going to say more about it later, but it impressed my wife. And anyone knows my wife, it's hard to impress
it's
her.
It's like Simon Cowell. It's like, you know, it's either great or it's awfully dreadful.
Pretty much.
If it impressed her,
Matt did something right.
Or how about it's so damn funny it didn't piss me off.
That works too.
Yes, that works too.
So that's the teaser for we don't have an official name for it, but we're calling it the Frank song right now. We'll have a name one day because we're thinking about making a music video to it. We're considering it. But so all I can say is with a music video, thank Frank and He-Man. That's all I can say. That's the idea I've got.
Yes. Not even run that by me till just now.
That's right. So it's hilarious. It's fucking hilarious. I'm not gonna lie. So
dye my hair blonde?
No. Thank God. But before we get into that, Spider-Man Homecoming. But we got this weekend. War for Planet of the Apes is coming out. And we do a series of articles on TrustMeOnJedi.com called Retroplex Cinema, where we look at cult and classic films. And this week, we've revisited Planet of the Apes, the original 1968 film that's almost 50 years old. Next year, it'll be 50 years old. Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And Planet of the Apes it's been a franchise that I don't want to say it's going under the radar, but people always talk about Star Wars or Star Trek or James Bond, Lord of the Rings, Superman, Batman. But they're like, oh, yeah, Planet of the Apes. It's kind of in the background in a sense,
right?
You know. But yet, it's made its own mark in history with five original films that are arguably go from really great to not so great due to budget restraints. And, you know, it's like now if a movie's a low budget and it makes a lot of money, they throw money at the sequel. And back then, they would take money away from the sequel. How can we get people in theaters and make it cheaper? Because we've suckered them in now. It's how they thought back then.
Yeah.
And, then in 2001, we had the Tim Burton reimagining, and then now we have the reboots that started in 2011 with Rise of the Planet of the Apes. But back to the originals. You guys fans?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah. Bunch of monkeys beating the shit out of humans. It's great.
Well, they're amazingly...
Instead of humans beating the shit out of their monkeys?
Well, that's against PETA.
Really? Because I did it earlier today, and I didn't see PETA anywhere around.
Thank you. The world need to know that. Yeah. And other than the remarkable makeup effects for the 1968 film, storytelling was so important.
Yes.
And it did a great job of being an allegory for social rights and civil rights at the time. The space age, trying to get to the moon and everything like that. And just telling a really great story about being a watchful eye on civilization and how we treat it. Of course, at the end of the film, and if you haven't seen it, this is a spoiler, but the movie's 50 years old. Hopefully you've seen it. You know, he discovers that he's on Earth the entire time. One of the greatest endings of all time in any film. And, and that was so important. And in today's films, with The Rise and Dawn and War from Planet of the Apes, they've continued to make sure the story is as important as Andy Serkis is in CGI. And, when was y'all's first time... I know, Frank, you and me kind of grew up playing these, but when were y'all first became fans of that?
The Tim Burton film. That's what caught me interested in wanting to look back on the classics.
And I don't hate that film. People like to dog it, It's not perfect. He should have left off the twist ending. I think if Tim Burton didn't try to top what they did in 68, he would have been okay. Mark Wahlberg, he was the early version of Mark Wahlberg then. He wasn't quite the Mark Wahlberg that did The Departed and learned how to act, you know. And he did okay with what he was given. But the movie has some remarkable set pieces and some really great. They used prosthetics again instead of CGI, even for the 2001 reimagining. And you know, me and Frank Amir saw it. We saw it in theaters together.
Oh yeah, that one. But when it came to the first ones, when I was young, man, it kind of freaked me out.
They can be a little frightening when you see them as a kid. Yeah,
you know.
I mean, here's these apes, and the first time they talk in the film, you're like, wow, they talk, and it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, well, like when he was running and before he got captured, it wasn't that big of a deal. Whenever you saw like the apes on the horses or anything, but. Like, when they dragged him in there and they start talking, it was like, ah, oh, this is kind of weird.
Right.
You know, as a kid. You know. So, that's something that, but then that's when I started to appreciate, along with, like, Star Wars and everything, just makeup and stuff like that. Like, what you could do.
And just, yeah, and just great effects back then, practical effects, great storytelling was a big part of it. And I really am a fan of that whole series. The films do trail off some, special effects-wise. I think story-wise, they hold up well. Even the last two, people love to knock on Conquest for the Planet of the Apes and Battle for the Planet of the Apes, but I just something I like about those movies. I like because they do try so hard, I think, you know.
And then they had the cartoons.
Right, and then, and that's the thing. Planet of the Apes also spawned a television series, live action, that ran for 1 year. Which was kind of loosely based on the actual original film, only fleshed out the story. Then there was a cartoon that ran for one season that was actually based on the book in some ways. The apes had villages and full society and stuff that we didn't see in the movie. Mm-hmm. And so it's
comic books?
Yeah, comic books spawned from into Marvel, had the rights. So Planet of the Apes became a whole franchise. Mego did toys for them. And it was a franchise before there was a Star Wars franchise in some ways. And it was a big deal in the 60s and 70s. You know, they produced these movies. They were all huge box office successes. And they came before a time that Star Trek was on TV already, but we didn't have Star Trek films yet. We didn't have Star Wars. And we didn't have all the comic book movies that we have now. So they were around to give people something to watch science fiction-wise before we had the sci-fi that we know now.
Yeah, other than, like, the Bond stuff, you didn't really have a lot of franchises that went past three. You know, on to 4 or 5 films.
Yeah, a franchise idea was an unknown thing in the 60s. You know, that was reserved for, you know, was there anything like it? Was Planet of the Apes, you know, I wonder, was Planet of the Apes the first franchise?
That's a good question.
You know, I'd have to go back and see how many sequels were made before that. I know it wasn't the first sequel ever, no. So I'm sure there was a sequel.
Now, there was other franchises, but, like, for that type of movie.
Right. Science fiction franchise. Science fiction was reserved for the B cinema. Forbidden Planet, then it went to television soon, and people watched it on Saturday matinees. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't... Sci-fi was kind of a newish thing. I mean, you had 2001 A Space Odyssey come out around the same time, but that was more like a thank you, man science fiction. Most people didn't understand the movie, you know?
Right. You're like, smart computer? What the hell is that?
Right. And, but, man, I'm a huge fan, and War for the Planet of the Apes, we talked earlier in the year. That's probably my most anticipated film this summer. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm wondering if it's going to end in a little darker place. You know, does Caesar die? You know, I don't know. We'll see. I haven't read anything.
I just kind of feel he is.
And if he doesn't die, does it end in such a dark place? Does something happen to his wife and kid in this? You know, I just have a feeling that after the first one ended with the rebellion, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the second one ended with Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, with hope that the apes could survive. You almost tend to go with the side of the apes. So you just have a feeling this one's going to end a little more and maybe not hopeful. You know, I think the apes win. Obviously, they win. We know they win at some point. But at what cost? You know, that makes you wonder about this film. Because ultimately, it's war for Planet of the Apes. And the reviews I've read, it's very much a war film. You know? And
I wouldn't be surprised that he dies and then his son kind of grows up in his shadows. Resentful. Possibly.
And which was similar to the original storylines where Caesar is Cornelius' son,
right?
You know, and everything. And man, I tell you what, though, think about these Planet of the Apes films. When the fuck are they going to give Andy Serkis an Oscar? The guy is amazing what he does with mocap work. And whether it's mocap work or not, you don't see his face. Andy is still putting on a performance. behind those cameras. We've seen him do it in Star Wars as Snoke. We saw him do it in Gollum as Gollum back for Lord of the Rings.
Oh, there's a lot of people that
he did King Kong, the Peter Jackson one.
Oh, really?
And he's also in the Marvel Universe now. You know, he's in the Black Panther movie, and he was in Avengers Age of Ultron.
I mean, do they even give awards out for part. Voice acting?
I don't think there might be animation voice actor awards. I don't know. But Andy Serkis, at some point before his career is over, better receive some sort of honorary Oscar or something for the amount of work he's done, because he's made motion capture a legitimate job and respect in the industry. You know, it's amazing what he's done, and I look forward to seeing him play Caesar, and I hope he's not done. I hope there's more. You know, I hope he continues to play Caesar in these Planet of the Apes films.
Well, even if he doesn't play Caesar, he'll definitely like take on another role as another ape. Could be his son.
Yeah. You know? Could be. He could continue to make more films. So Planet of the Apes comes out this weekend. So this previous weekend, we got another Marvel movie, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes.
And extremely well reviewed. You know, it's been doing, critics seem to like it. I liked it. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I was expecting something different, I guess.
Was it the Indian Flash?
No, I wanted to punch him. It had nothing to do with being Indian. I just was like,
he wasn't a jock, though.
Okay, here's what I was expecting. I was expecting an MCU. I know in previous podcasts, I said, well, I get tired of the MCU formula, right? But I was expecting the MCU formula. Instead, I get a coming-of-age high school film, almost John Hughes-esque, and there were parts in it I was legitimately bored. We didn't need the party scene at all.
No,
basically, the same scene happens twice. He goes to the party, he leaves. He goes to homecoming, he leaves. It was like the same thing done twice. If they had taken one of those scenes out, I think I would have liked it a little bit more.
The scene for the party sets up the whole part of, like, how well does Spider-Man work in the suburbs when he has no buildings to swing from?
Well,
and he's having just to, like, literally
I
jump
like that
and run
part.
Everybody.
I thought that was
hilarious.
I thought that was funny. No, I like that. I like the very much Stan Lee, Steve Ditko-esque Spider-Man. I love Tom Holland. I think he's the best Peter Parker we've had. But this movie falls behind Spider-Man 2 a little bit for me. I think Spider-Man 2 had better action sequences. I liked Alfred Molina as a villain better, as Doc Ock.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Keaton, don't get me wrong, he owns it. But I also, like, felt he's just like this worker at the beginning, and all of a sudden he figures out how to run this little criminal empire. It's just, like, kind of out of nowhere.
Well, he was already a businessman. He owned his own.
How many years was that in the future? After, because that
they
was
said eight
that
years
was right.
later.
8 years later.
8 years later.
Yeah, okay. So it was 8 years later of them already, you know, stealing tech and revamping it into weapons.
I mean, they didn't have an empire. They had
a small operation. Yeah,
right? And look how they did it. He's a vulture, so he scavenged parts, like a vulture picks bones clean.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was a good pick for a character.
And he didn't do it. He really didn't do all the brain work himself. It looked like he had some techie guys there.
Well, yeah.
The one guy with vacuum
He ran
seal.
The business.
I guess it was part of the retconning to get them into the MCU, so I guess they had to do the best they can. And that's being nitpicky, because Keaton still owned it. Holland owned it. I did feel the action scenes were a little generic. They didn't wow me. Even the water, the oil rig scene, or the ferry scene, didn't,
okay,
like, blow me away.
Yeah.
And then the scene where he fights the vulture in the airplane at the end, it's just like, I felt like I've seen that in a Superman film or whatever, where they're fighting on a plane, you know, and in the air.
And speaking about one of the fight scenes, the part I had, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, fast forward, the part where Peter, like, he gets out of the car, goes immediately up to her, tells her he has to go.
It just seemed quick.
And then he runs out the back of the gym, and boom, there's that guy there.
The Shocker.
How did he get there so fast?
People have mentioned that's like a plot hole. People think because Vulture, Keaton knew who he was, that he called him real quick. But still, yeah, it was kind of weird.
A little fast.
That's really fast.
And then did he even tell him that it was Peter?
Right.
Because at the, spoiler alert, after some of the credits, when the guy walks up to him and goes, I heard that you know who he is. And he's like, oh, if I knew, didn't you think I would go after him?
Right. And you got that supposed to be the Scorpion.
You know.
Right.
So, my thing is that the other guy knew, wouldn't he, like, rat him out that he knew who Spider-Man was?
Yeah. It's funny. I'm a little nitpicky about it, but I was expecting more from the movie, I guess.
Well,
I liked it. You can get this. As far as combo movies this year, I liked it better than I liked Guardians. but not better than Wonder Woman. I think I like Wonder Woman better.
So far. Yeah.
And obviously Logan's the best comic film this year, but Logan's so far above the rest of the films that Thor or Justice League aren't going to be better than Logan. We can safely say that. You know.
Now, we're being nitpicky. Guy at work is even being more nitpicky. He had an issue with who MJ wound up being.
But that's not her. Yeah. Kevin Feige has already said that's not Mary Jane Watson. They simply threw that in there, and Feige? I'm not sure how you say his last name. He said, just be patient and see where the story goes. Okay? Because I think I know what it means. It's a high school coming of age story. Once he eventually meets Mary Jane Watson, he'll be like, oh, yeah, I knew a girl named MJ once.
Yeah, because he was going on about MJ was like popular and everything. It was like the whole thing was about the nerd boy getting
Producer Kevin Feige pretty much revealed that that's not the MJ we think it is. It's just sort of something they threw in there.
Well, I mean, they've already made Flash Thompson a cool nerd, I guess. Well,
yeah, and it's not even the race.
Well, he's a, what do they call him? What's it called? A cathlon? Whatever the.
Academic decathlon.
Whatever they call them nowadays.
And there were some nods in there, like a lot of people don't know Liz was actually Peter Parker's first love in the original Spider-Man comics. Before he ever met Gwen Stacy, he liked Liz in the comics. So they took that right from the comics. And I thought the young cast did a good job. And I did enjoy the scene where he saves his friends. I thought that was one of the better action sequences in the film. I like the tech of the costume. It was a little something different we hadn't seen in a Spider-Man film before.
I like the fact that Peter has a friend who knows a secret.
Right. Oh, yeah.
The guy in the chair.
I loved his relationship with Ned. In the comics, Ned becomes Hobgoblin. I don't think they're going to go that route with this story.
No.
And I like that. There's a lot I really liked about the film. I just wanted the action scenes to be a little bit better. And I didn't mind the coming of age John Hughes-esque stuff, but a little less of it maybe. Just would have pulled it back just a little bit.
I'm just happy it took place after the Avengers, but after Civil War, and we didn't get another freaking origin story.
Well, no, we didn't need it. Mm-hmm. I felt it needed a little more Aunt May. Let's get to the Tony Stark stuff. Okay, I'm glad it did not become the Iron Man show starring Spider-Man.
Yes,
it was just enough Tony, but. The Spider-Man mythos, what's so important about Peter learning to become a man is Aunt May. And they took some of those lines that she could have in the game to Tony. You know, you're nothing without the suit, you know, if you can't learn to be a man. And I just felt like as an old school Spider-Man fan, that's Aunt May's job, not Tony's. Not to step in and be like a father figure, you know? Mm-hmm. And it didn't bother me so much that I hated the film, but I hope in the sequel we get more Aunt May.
Well, now that she knows who he is.
Yeah, I like the way that
spoiler.
Ended.
Yeah.
That she is able to guide him and let him learn to be, you know, have that responsibility with his power, you know, and that's just how I felt. That's again a very nitpicky thing, but I thought there was just enough Tony in the movie, you know, and it worked. And Robert Downey Jr. is always a pleasure to see on screen. He owns the role of Tony Stark. So it was good to see him in the movie, but not too much. Even though the scene in the trailer where him and Spider-Man are swinging through the city is not in the movie.
Yeah, it's not.
And neither is Ned trying on the costume. That's not in the movie either from the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a couple things they left out there.
But movie companies, they do that a lot. They'll shoot a scene use that for their trailer.
I know that. But you would think, though, if you're going to spend a lot of money on the Tony Stark and Spider-Man flying through the city, you would use it in the movie.
I haven't bothered to, you know, check or anything, but... You think that, like, Sony's going to let this Peter Parker go? Do you think they're going to indulge into the minority Peter Parkers that have been done?
Well...
And reboot their part of the franchise with them?
Well, no, because here's... Okay, first off, I was going to get... Here goes Frank, jumping the gun. Danny Glover's Danny character. Glover. His character, the dude, the black guy he interrogates in the garage, for people that didn't know who that character was... You look at the screen, his nickname's the Prowler, which is a Spider-Man villain. And he says, I have a nephew in the city. In the comics, his nephew is Miles Morales, the young boy who becomes Spider-Man when Peter dies in the comics. And, of course, now they've retconned it where Peter and Miles are both alive in the comic books and all that.
Sony's going to do those films.
No, from what I've read is Sony is doing a Venom film that has nothing to do with Spider-Man, but yet... Right now, Spider-Man is Marvel's. Apparently, it's for 5 films. 3 Spider-Man films, The Avengers, and Civil War. Yeah. That's the word right now.
Now, I have to admit, it was kind of weird.
Because we all know Spider-Man's in Infinity War.
It was kind of weird at the beginning of a Disney Marvel movie that the Sony logo and all that came up first.
It's no different when you just go see a Hulk movie. It has Universal in front of it because they still own the distribution rights.
Or the lack of, you know, the music for the, what is it, 20th Century Fox in front of a Star Wars movie now. I mean, because when that music played, you knew the Star Wars was going to kick it. So, like, the newer movies kind of lack that.
Yeah, but I've gotten used to that already.
It's like the pre-hype, you know? And, so it's just... those little subtle changes.
I thought it was different not to have the movie. It's the first Marvel movie I remember that we've had. We had a prologue, and then the Marvel Studios logo comes
on. Right, that's what I'm talking about.
And but you know, overall, I don't know. I can't think of where this sits as far as the MCU yet. I do think it's probably top five or six. You know, I want to see where they go. I am excited to see where they go with Spider-Man. I want to see Tom Holland do more. I'm glad they didn't kill the villain for once. Another spoiler.
Yeah.
You know, that was nice to see. Especially because Keaton, I love Keaton. I want to see more of him, you know. So I was glad for that.
I like the, hi, I'm Captain America.
The Captain cameos were funny. The scene at the end, where if you stay all the way through credits, was kind of silly.
But I think that was the funniest part about it. It was because of the comments he makes about you sitting all the way to the end.
Right.
You expect something awesome, but you're just disappointed.
So I guess next, we'll see Spider-Man next in Infinity War. Next year.
Yeah. Hopefully he wears that awesome suit.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that for the Spider-Man movies, the outfit that he's using now is for the Spider-Mans, and then the Avenger movies and stuff, he's going to use the other one. You know, so we're going to see two different Spider suits depending on what movie he's in.
We're going to see Iron Spider.
Who doesn't want to see that? We've been calling, fans have been wanting
or
that.
Or some version of it.
For ever and a day.
But yeah, overall, I think it's a movie that I need to watch again. You know, like Guardians Volume 2, I'm sure I'll buy one because I'm Blu-ray, but I don't have to watch again. And
I'll have the bootleg within the next 3 days.
I have the bootleg.
Spider-Man, there went the 3 days.
Spider-Man is probably my third favorite hero behind anyone that this show knows. I'm Batman, Wolverine. Those are my first two.
Yes.
Spider-Man probably is my third favorite. I'm a fan of it. I'm a little harsher on the movies because I'm a fan. But I'm one of the few people that don't totally hate the Venom film with the third one of Spider-Man. There's parts of that I really like. I didn't hate the Andrew Garfield films. You know, they were what they were. Yeah. The first one's actually pretty good.
Yeah, the first
one. The one with Electro, that one's a little, you know. Yeah. But
parts of it are good, but overall.
But the Sam Raimi trilogy, overall, it's funny. There's become an internet hatred now that people want to hate the Spider-Man films because they're so high on Tom Holland. But I guarantee back in the 2000s when the Sam Raimi trilogy came out, you like those films, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You're just liking to hate on it now. Mm-hmm. The first two are really good.
I just didn't like the third one.
You know, but even the third one, good until about three quarters of the way through.
Well, you know what happened, right?
Well, the studio forced him to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know that.
They were already, I believe they had already started filming and the story was already written. And the studio said, fans want Venom. You have to work in Venom. And then he had to change everything.
Yeah. And that's why the last part of the last 45 minutes of the film don't work as well. The first part of the film's not that bad. And people always want to knock on where he goes emo and he's dancing and all that with Venom. But, you know, but that's also kind of Sam Raimi. That's his kind of humor, you know.
Slapstick. Funny.
And, you know, but those films are a different time. We're in a different age. I think the early 2000s were a different age of comic book movies, and now we're in a new age. And it's okay to redo things and try again. But that doesn't mean you have to hate those films because they're not bad. You know, you watched them when they came out and you liked them. They made a shitload of money at the box office.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is still, I think, the first movie to ever make $100 million its opening weekend. Mm-hmm. I think the original Spider-Man is still that first movie. Because, I mean, it took years to get off the ground. James Cameron tried to make Spider-Man. Several studios tried to make Spider-Man. And finally, Sam Raimi was able to do it in 2001. It was 02, because that's right.
Oh, 02.
The reason I remember that is because the trailer came out in 01 and had the Twin Towers on it. Then 9/11 happened and they had to
edit it out.
Yeah, speaking about the Twin Towers, whenever a couple comic paloozas back, whenever I was getting an autograph from Stan Lee on one of the Venom covers of Spider-Man, a guy actually had one of the big ass theater sized posters
that had the
Twin Towers in his lenses.
Yeah. I remember that.
Was pretty cool.
Because they pulled that poster from theaters. And So Spider-Man Homecoming in theaters now. Go see it.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, we're not doing our segments today because, I haven't really downloaded anything. Well, to be fair, if we did download this, I did watch the first episode of Castlevania. Okay. That's about all I've watched lately.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
You know, and then Face Off, we're going to save for next time. As I don't really remember whose turn it was for Face Off. I think Frank won.
Yes.
Frank lost, so it was supposed to be you versus me.
Yeah.
So, but Frank, I forgot to remind Frank, so we'll do it next show, and Frank will have a topic for us. But I want to talk about cartoons.
Why would I have a topic for you? I lost.
No, remember we decided we'd change the rules. Winner continues.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to get ahead. But we'll worry about Face Off next time, so don't worry about it today. So last episode, we talked about Rick and Morty and download this. And,
Rick and Morty, of course,
the season 3 trailer just came out. And it got me thinking. We were going to, you know, we just got Castlevania on Netflix. We got Voltron on Netflix. What are some other, you know, I was thinking, like, what other cartoons would y'all like to see? Not necessarily the Netflix treatment, but get rebooted, get redone again. And the first one that comes to my mind is we have all these Transformers cartoons that are spinoffs, you know, Energon or Beast Wars.
Yeah.
Why not reboot Generation 1?
No. Leave my Generation 1 alone.
Dude, have you... Honestly?
Leave my G.I. Joe and my Transformers alone. Yes, they are not today's quality great, but they were my childhood. And they don't need to be rebooted.
Well, not even rebooted. Just a new version of it. I don't see why not. I think a reboot, like Netflix would be perfect for a new... If it works for Voltron, it could work for Transformers.
Yeah.
With the original Optimus Prime and Megatron and the way they looked. They'd probably still change Megatron now because of the gun sensitivity nowadays. And that's okay. But in some, you could still do some form of him. You know, I don't have a problem with the tank version they did from Generation 2. Do that if you had to in a Transformers reboot.
I wish they would have done that in the movies.
But Transformers is the number one, I think. And I think it could work if done right. You know, Voltron has been really well done. That's my first. What's something you would like to see get a reboot, new cartoon
treatment?
Does
it necessarily have to be a cartoon? Rebooted into a cartoon. There's like a cartoon I almost like to see a live action, a little bit darker.
Well, no, we're talking cartoons. Like, what cartoons would you want to come back in a new version?
I'd like to see the 1950s Superman come back. Or 1960s,
The Fleischer cartoons? With the old style?
Yeah, with the old school, and he's like, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. And then, you know, he'd fight like...
Like, you'd like to see someone do a retro take on, like, Superman battling aliens and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah. I can see. I actually have those Fleischer cartoons on a Blu-ray, and I love those. They're great.
Yeah. They're highly... I think they're coveted.
Yeah.
They're coveted.
Wacky Racers?
Wacky Racers? What the... I don't even know what that is.
I think it was Wacky Racers. It's basically, like, a bunch of, like... It's like... It was a Hanna-Barbera series. I think that's what it was called. And they just, like... raced, and it had like Snidely the dog that laughed, and the Baron and everything.
It comes on Boomerang now and then, doesn't it?
And then it had the Mystery Machine, right?
It was a bunch of racers from the characters from the Hanna-Barbera series, like different cartoons, but they would all be in like this basically a cannonball race.
Yes.
And play, you know, and it would like, it was also like a mixture of like Roadrunner, where they would like set up traps and try to booby, you know, throw each other out of the race and stuff.
Speaking of retro reboots, I know we've had Justice League cartoons, but Super Friends, I could totally go for a new version of Super Friends with, you know, just silly Lex Luthor always has this plan with his bad guys.
Would it have the Super Twins?
You have the Wonder Twins?
Yeah, the Wonder Twins.
Yes, you have to have the Wonder Twins. You gay fucks would play the Wonder Twins.
Yeah, but his dumbass is the bucket of water.
No.
But no, that's the one. I don't know if you remember this, but I know Frank will. What about Mask? If Voltron could work as a Netflix treatment, why not Mask?
Oh, man, I would love Mask.
That would be cool.
Like The Mask?
No, it was called Mask. It was an abbreviation for something.
Yeah.
And the toys were freaking awesome as shit. They had little trucks and airplanes and things like that. And the characters wore masks.
Like 2 or 3 inches tall. You know, you could change out their mask, and they all had their own vehicles that also transform from a car to a flyer or whatever.
Right.
You know? So I had a whole shitload of them.
What other cartoon that would you want to see rebooted with a Netflix-type treatment?
I guess G.I. Joe.
Robotech.
There's been some rumors about Robotech getting redone. I think G.I. Joe would do well, too. But you got to go original Real American Hero.
Not the freaking UN bullshit.
Yeah. G.I. Joe would be good. Silverhawks. That could maybe work, you know, as one.
Yeah.
We said that, Mikey.
Yeah.
Mikey's in the background there saying original Transformers.
I know Matt wants a He-Man.
Well, we technically had He-Man in 2001.
Masters of the Universe.
Which was really, I have sitting on DVD right over there.
It was all muscly.
That was like actually a pretty good reboot. That was a pretty good reboot, that He-Man.
Skeletor was freaking
awesome. We've had Ninja Turtles rebooted already.
Yep.
On Nickelodeon. Yeah, a couple times. So that's not really one. I'm thinking of stuff that like never got rebooted. And, you know, Transformers, is we've had spinoffs, it's never been rebooted.
They've like done made for movie DVDs and probably some on Boomerang. But I was like a darker version of Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, maybe not so necessarily child-friendly.
Kids, it looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then threw him the body in the river.
Ooh,
but who was it? Scoot. We're dealing with 1/6 son of a bitch.
It's Mark. No, wait. Matt.
A rated R Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
Okay, this brings another question. We were talking about Shudder Review. What other cartoon would you like to see, like a hardcore rated R version?
Ooh, X-Men. Obviously.
Dude, I think X-Men would work. Logan style.
Josie and the Pussycats. Since we're going that way with it.
Oh, why, man. Frank? Why?
Come on.
Why not Jim and the Holograms, too?
No, because it Josie and the Pussycats.
No shit.
I think it says it all right there.
What if you took, like the Monster Squad idea from the movie, and we took like Freddy and Jason and Mike Myers and Pinhead and made like this animated horror cartoon where like this group of supervillains.
And they just keep killing people and you can't do shit about it.
Yeah. And then like, you know, they battle, like, hell, you can even take the Universal Monsters, Dracula and all those guys.
You take them and then you have like guest appearances from like other popular cartoons that are out now, like The Simpsons and Rick and Morty and American Dad, and just like these people.
Is American Dad so popular?
You know,
I don't know. I really like it for what it is, but it's like,
well, that's like, I know you love Family Guy, but I can't tell you the last time I watched a Family Guy. It's become so stale to me.
But I'm just saying, you run these characters in, like, they would just like make guest appearances for like no real reason whatsoever. They get chased by.
It's like, is The Simpsons even funny anymore? You know, it's like after 20 seasons.
Simpsons in 20 seasons.
Yeah.
It's like, I know what you mean. It's like if it's on TV and you pass it and it catches your eye for whatever moment you pass by and it interests you for a second, I'll watch that.
So I'm going to humor you, Frank, even though we could do a whole show on cartoons that haven't. What cartoon would you have wanted that was going to be live action? You mentioned earlier.
It would have been the Scooby-Doo.
Oh, okay.
A really dark, almost kind of like.
Well, you don't like the Sarah Michelle Gellar crap fest?
No. I mean, because you can almost do it like dark, like, you know. People haven't seen the trailer for. What were we just watching the trailer for, Matt?
Stranger Things.
Exactly. You can make it dark like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would like to see a true dark Scooby-Doo, not just a goofy, wacky, horrible CGI movies like.
Did they release a trailer for Stranger Things today? I saw the release date and the poster was out.
It's pretty boring.
You know, a cartoon that, you know, I don't think a lot of people remember. Stan Lee tried to make a raunchy cartoon with Pamela Anderson called Stripperella.
Oh, right.
And I watched it. It only aired for like 2 or 3 episodes, and then I guess it just went away.
Yeah, probably so. Like the heavy metal movie? Why'd they do it? They could have done an anthology cartoon series like that for Netflix for adults, like a heavy metal, you know? And, there's some stuff you do. But I think ideally, though, if it comes to cartoon reboots, I think Transformers, G.I. Joe are the two most obvious.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Generation 1 Transformers, let's bring back Optimus as a truck and Bumblebee as a Volkswagen, you know, and do it old school style. That's one thing I loved about...
Yeah, not a modern day Volkswagen.
It's one thing I loved about the Transformers Devastation game. It's like it gave me that Generation 1 action that it didn't have for years. You know, the game might be the simplest hack and slash game, but at the same time, it's so much fucking fun to play. You know, just because it's Generation 1 Transformers, you know? And that's what's great about it. Anything else that would get the reboot Netflix treatment? I can't think of anything else.
I can't think of anything.
Those are the most popular. But, you know, again, even though they had the reboot of He-Man, if they did it again, I'd be okay with that.
Oh,
and, you know, they're still going to try to make a Master of the Universe movie. So
why didn't we not mention Thundercats?
Well, got the Cartoon Network reboot a few years ago, which was, like, not bad, but it was almost, like, too serious.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they just end it without an ending?
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, Thundercats would.
I could have sworn I saw like two episodes and then.
So I think we kind of.
Maybe there was more.
I think
like
we
a
all
season
kinda,
and a half or two seasons and then that was it. It was canceled.
So I think we all kind of agree 80s cartoons is where it's at, though, for reboots and bringing back cartoons. What about the one where the kid turns into the car? I can't remember the name of that.
The kid turns into the car. That's
it's like Turbo Kid or something like that. I can't remember. My friend, my friend Omar was talking about it one day. And speaking of, Omar says you're a punk, by the way, and you know why.
Hey, you know, but people agree it's an all day process.
It doesn't matter. He's like, I'm paying you, motherfucker.
But when I got to go to work
to look at your meat.
Yeah. Okay. Basically, let me tell the story. Before we play the Frank song here in a few, let me play the story. With a friend of ours, Frank makes a killer brisket. I would give him props on that. Frank enjoys playing with his meat. And so someone said, hey, man, how much will Frank charge me to cook me a brisket for something I'm doing? I'm like, I don't know. I'll ask him. So Frank's all like, man, I just don't know if I have time yet. And I'm like, dude, he's going to pay you. Oh, man, it takes all day. You're getting paid for it. So Frank basically punked Omar and said, no, I don't have time.
Yeah, because I don't get back-to-back days off. Whenever I do it for a special event for you guys,
don't you
have
vacation coming
off
up in a couple weeks?
Yeah, like next week.
All right, then. You could.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so Omar says you're a punk. So, anyway, so Matt.
That's okay. I was going to be even more of a punk and, like, buy a brisket earlier today, and I've just forgot.
That would have been fucked up.
I was going to take pictures of it and put
I would have told Omar where you live for that
and
shit.
And I would have just going to hashtag Omar.
Omar's a cool-ass dude. He's a good supporter of the show, and we don't get enough shout-outs. So, Matt, tell us about this Frank song that we need to title. Were you suddenly inspired?
You know what? Frank wasn't talking to us for a while.
Oh, that's right.
He wasn't.
He kind of got upset with us that we made fun of him on the last show because he was sick, and we called him out on it.
You know what?
No, I didn't even listen to the damn show because
I
texted him.
I sent him like 2,000 text messages.
Yeah, so I just like blocked him.
Yeah,
altogether.
he was having his period.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
But here's the funny thing. So I block you and I forget to unblock you the next day. So I'm only getting Mark's half of the text messages.
Did they make any fucking sense?
No, it was so stupid. I'm laughing my ass off. Like, I'm just wondering what the hell Matt's saying on the other text. I'm just adding my own paragraphs in here. Like, yeah, Mark, I'll jerk you off.
What?
I mean, that's what I figured Matt was saying.
So he was having his titty baby moment with his period. How did this come about? You were just sitting in your room and like, I'm gonna make a prank.
You know what? I said, what's something hilarious that I can do to get his attention? And I was like, I was thinking of, you know, Texans Radio 610 whenever Nick Wright went to go work at FS1, some fan made a Wonder Boy tribute to him and John Lopez. If anyone listens to that,
no one cares because this is.
I was like, I think I could do that with Frank. I think I could do that with the biscuit. And I was like, I did it in like 1.5 takes because first I started, and then I fucked it up.
So was this off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head.
And it pokes fun at Frank for being, you know, we're always dogging him about being a leprechaun, even though he's Scottish. And
yes.
But you poke fun at me too, and yes. I'm cool with that because I love to send these guys. I'm 40 years old. The times for celebrity crushes are past us. I don't care anymore, but I still have a thing in my heart for Sarah Underwood.
Yes.
So I like to send the guys
Underwood.
Yeah, she gets me some Underwood, and so I like to send the guys pictures of Sarah Underwood. So Matt makes a joke about that, and Matt makes a little fun of yourself too. And it's overall it. Takes all of Rebel Radio in, a little bit about our origins. It becomes a Rebel Radio / Frank T. Biscuit song.
Yes, it starts off as Frank, and then we're talking about Mark, and then we're talking about us, and then it ends with Frank, pretty much.
And
comes full circle.
He is Alpha and Omega.
Full kilt.
My first thought when I listened to it was like, wow, man, Matt's got way too much fucking time on his hands. But it was funny, and so I let Mary listen to it, my wife, and Mary's like, what is this? Just stupid. Because she knows Matt. She knows how goofy Matt is.
Yeah.
But she was laughing. She was impressed. And if you can impress the Mary,
yes.
You've pulled it off.
Yep.
Trust me.
There's something about Mary.
Mary is not, my wife's not easy to impress. So if you impressed her, you did something right. And she thought it was hilarious. So we send it to Frank, right? And you didn't respond. We're like,
I didn't respond because I'm like, oh, this is just going to be stupid.
He's
going to
fucking hate it.
So we keep just leprechaun.
We keep texting him.
Screw it, I'll listen to it.
I'm like, listen to the damn song, Frank. You finally listen to it. And we're like, well, did he like it? And finally he gives us a thumbs up, a little emoji.
And I'm like laughing my ass off.
So without further ado, here is the Frank song. from Matt the Electric Monkey on Rebel Radio.
This song is for Frank T. Biscuit. It's the story of Rebel Radio, but mainly Frank. So here's to you, you fucking leprechaun. High above the Lucky Charms, castle made of clouds, and there sits Frank T. Biscuit sitting oh so proudly. Not much to say when you are an Irish leprechaun. Yeah, Frank T. Biscuit. What is the secret of your leprechaunness? Frank T. Biscuit, won't you take me far away from your Lucky Charms, man? Now it's time for me to tell you about Mark the Host, arch rival and nemesis of Frank T. Biscuit, with powers comparable to Frank T. Biscuit. What powers, you ask? I don't know, how about the flower of meme? Does that do anything for you? That's improvisation, Holmes. How about the power to send pictures of Sarah Underwood from 200 yards away? With AT&T service! That's telling awesome, Kyle! How about the power to fart you? History of Frank T. Biscuit and the Host Mark. Rig-a-go-go, rig-a-go-go-go, secret to be told, a bold chest to be bold, and blasting forth through three-part harmony. Yow! Frank T. Biscuit, what is the secret of your gayness? Frank T. Biscuit, won't you take me far away from the Lucky Charms, man? Well, Mark the Host, Frank T. Biscuit, and Electric Monkey joined forces. They formed the band of witch likes had never been seen, and they called themselves Rebel Radio. That's right! Me, Burke, and Biscuit are Rebel Radio! Come fly with me, fly!
Frank T. Biscuit,
what is the secret of your leprechaun powers?
Frank T. Biscuit,
won't you take me far away from the cereal elf? Oh, take my hand, you friggin' leprechaun, and we'll fly. Bring out your marshmallows, there's a rainbow. Hop on it, and let's fly. You take the high road, and I'll take the low with the Host. There, the crevasse, I'm sure you want to fill it with your mighty juice. 'Cause you're crazy like that, you friggin' leprechaun.
There it was. Again, it's still funny to listen to it.
Yes.
And we might make a music video to it.
Oh,
we don't know. I'm going to put it up on probably our Facebook page separately, just so people just want to hear the song and don't listen to the whole show.
Yeah.
So, Matt, thank you for making that. It was freaking hilarious.
Yeah,
you know?
I tried.
And
so what did you use to make it?
I guess if we had we could do a download this on it's an app called Smule, and it's a karaoke app. So what this does is you put headphones in with a mic, and it plays the music. You have, you know, the bars that tell you where your pitch is supposed to go, kind of like Rock Band. It tells you where your pitch is supposed to be, and the music is playing. If there's a harmony, the harmony's taken care of. You just sing, you know, the part.
I'm gonna have to download this damn thing.
And so You know, my wife loves it.
So what do you do? You just go and you pick different music?
Yeah.
Well,
you just type.
And we didn't even tell people before we played the song that you kind of did that based on a Tenacious D song, right?
Yes. Yeah. Wonder Boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
whenever you send us the link to it, it had, of course, Tenacious D on there, so I knew who it was from. Right. I was just like, you got the music without the lyrics.
And then to download it and send it to Mark, they have a downloader. So you can actually download your song and store it, and then you can put it on a CD, you can send it to your friends, you can set it as a ringtone, you know.
Yeah, so there might be multiple future videos and songs from.
Yeah, it was hilarious, and it was really funny, and so we have this gift from Matt the Electric Monkey, the Frank T. Biscuit Rebel Radio song, The Leprechaun.
The Leprechaun.
Was it like in Wayne's World? I'm a leprechaun. Ah! Or something, I don't know. Visual joke probably didn't work on the podcast. But
yeah. It was scary. So it's good to get that.
So before we do get out of here, real quick thoughts. A couple announcements. One, Remnants of Rebellion, our Star Wars show. We haven't done an episode since April, Matt, you and me. Yes. We've been lazy, but I want to make an announcement that a season finale is coming. Me and Matt are going to do one episode. It's the 9th episode. Then we're going to take a break, and we're going to bring back Remnants of Rebellion probably around the time The Last Jedi hits for a season 2.
Yeah.
So that will come soon. But let's touch on that real quick. Real quick thoughts before we go on the whole Han Solo fiasco. Okay, fired Christopher Miller and Philip Lord.
Yes.
Brought in Ron Howard to finish directing.
And we called.
So are you scared about this film now?
No.
I mean, yeah, we talked about it a little bit on the last episode of Rebel Radio, but that same day we talked about Ron Howard got hired. And I like Ron Howard. I think that he's a good choice, but do you feel that he should reshoot the whole thing? I keep waiting for Disney to make an announcement any day now that they're just going to reshoot the whole thing.
If it's necessary.
You know.
If they don't do it, then, you know, obviously, you know, his input has been taken into consideration, whatever is going to be done.
And granted, Ron Howard hasn't made a real great film since A Beautiful Mind. He's been on a string of not great films.
I think he should just, whatever script they wrote, go in there, do his photography, cinema, directing, based off of what's on the pages and get it over with. Because I really don't want a rewrite Ron Howard political film. For Star Wars?
No, I don't think Ron Howard's like that.
Yeah.
You know, you'd find more.
I don't think you're thinking of the right director. Ron Howard's not really.
No.
Is the guy that made Cocoon, Backdraft? He's got Apollo 13? Yeah. With what?
Happy Days?
He made a movie about Moby Dick. He made a movie about Moby Dick last year. He made a movie about race car driving with Thor. I'm trying to figure out what
race
he's done.
Race car driving with who?
Thor.
You know, I think you're thinking of
Thor
with Chris Hemsworth.
Was it Round a Track?
No, that Driven or Drive or whatever.
Driven.
No, Driven was the Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, Stallone.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of a different director. I don't think Ron Howard. Ron Howard's never been, you know. Yeah, I think you have your directors. Yeah, I think you have your directors.
Racing game with Thor.
I think Frank's confusing directors here because Ron Howard's never been, you know.
No, I just found it funny that you said with Thor.
So, you know, what? Maybe we get announced when he reshoots it. We'll see. It depends on how much footage was good from the Lord and Miller stuff because they said they tried to make it too comedic. And I'm of the mind. Like, I like Rogue One a lot, but I just felt we didn't need a Han Solo film.
Yeah.
Part of the mystery of Han Solo is you didn't even know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the one film in the spinoffs that I think they need to be very careful with. And it needs to be really right. And this young man who's playing Harrison Ford's character of Han Solo needs to capture that just as Ewan did with Alec McGinnis. And if he doesn't, people aren't going to like it. So we'll see how the finished product comes out next May, if it still comes out on time.
But I think that's the thing. Like, we didn't have a lot of Obi-Wan in Star Wars as far as, like, we had him for one film.
Right, but you had enough.
You know?
Yeah.
But not so much that, like, he didn't, like, own the character 100%. Whereas Ford is Han Solo. Ford is Indiana Jones.
Here's my thoughts on that. As of 1977, after one film, you're absolutely right. But the fact that Ewan played this character 20 years later after people have gained a passion for it, that's why it was important that Ewan had to capture it. You know, regardless of the amount of screen time Alec Guinness had, you had 20 years of history. And forget, Alec Guinness was an Empire and Jedi, even if he was a ghost.
Yes.
So he had a little more screen time than you thought, you know?
Right.
And
But when character, like, the one character playing a younger version of a character doesn't look anything like the other character, it just kind of takes away from it. It's almost like having a blonde-haired, short-haired
I wouldn't say he doesn't look like. I wouldn't say he doesn't look like a young Harrison Ford, but he doesn't look as much as Ewan did as Alec Guinness either.
That's what I'm saying. At least
it's not like they cast.
He could be a younger version of
it. It's not like they cast Leonardo DiCaprio as Harrison Ford. That would have been a little weird. They don't look, So, yeah. But we'll see. I mean, I have a lot of faith in Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm that they're going to put out a good product. And that's where my hope lies. If there was a new hope, see what I did there.
Yeah,
so we'll see when the film comes out. But that's all I've got for Rebel Radio. Want to get your thoughts on that? We hope everyone enjoyed the Frank song. That was hilarious.
Yes.
And until next time, go to trustmeamajedi.com for all your needs and listen to the podcast. And we thank you for all your support. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And
this has been Matt the Electric Monkey,
Frank T. Biscuit.
This has been Mark. With great power comes great responsibility. Remember that. You didn't put that line in Homecoming, but you were thanking it.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio podcast.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio podcast.